Hi, it's Mark Zinkowitz. I attended the recent Prairie Grain Development Committee meetings in Saskatoon, and as usual, I was interested to know what was going on with the Prairie Recommending Committee for Oilseeds, or the PRCO as it's known. The PRCO looks at promising new lines of flax and also condiment mustard. The current chair of the PRCO is Howard Love. He is senior scientist for Mustard 21 based in Saskatoon. Mustard 21 Canada is a non-profit corporation that develops and implements strategic priorities and programs in key areas to enhance mustard production and value-added products. It also works to implement a mustard breeding strategy with long-term resource support from Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada, the provinces, and other funding agencies. It was a quiet year for the PRCO as they didn't look at any particular lines this year, but exciting things are coming next year. That's where Howard and I start off, is talking about some lines that may be coming forward at the 2025 PGDC meetings. Together, Howard and I had a wide-ranging conversation about his time in the industry and the future of condiment mustard as a crop. Enjoy our chat.
The one line we're interested in on mustard is a new Oriental hybrid.
Yep.
And that will be coming hopefully up next year.
So you are with Mustard 21.
Yes.
And what is your role there?
I am the senior scientist.
Oh.
With Mustard 21.
And how long have you been there now?
Since 2016. Prior to that, I was doing ag consulting. Since 2007, and prior to that I was research director for Svalov, and then it became Svalov Oil, and then it became Lantman SW Limited in Canada, and I was the Canadian research director for that company for 16 years.
So how did you, what made you interested in mustard, the mustard realm? And I don't think before today, I feel like, you know, at PGDC I've been coming for about 10 years, I've met everybody at least once, but I don't think I've ever met you.
And I was at this series of meetings in a big way when I was involved with Svalov and Svalov Weibel. At that time I was a member of all the committees. I was presenting varieties in all the committees. I was involved with all of the cool season crops that Svalov bred, including hybrid willows and potatoes. So I was very broad-based. I was evaluating and testing at probably up to 50 sites across Western Canada and Eastern Canada. And at that time, I started out my career by moving to Ontario from Saskatoon. I was trained in Saskatoon. And my career started in Ontario, and at that time we were evaluating winter canolas in eastern Canada, and we were evaluating cereals, oats primarily in Quebec and the Maritimes, and also potatoes in the Maritimes. So I was involved and sitting on many committees. I was introduced to the oilseeds committees and the corn committees in Ontario. And got to know those scientists and registration systems, and then also was involved closely with the committees in Western Canada, because at that time we were just transitioning from public varieties of canola to private varieties, and Svalov actually had the first variety of canola that was non-public, which was the variety Legend. I was just brought on board as Legend was coming through the system. And then I was present for all of the itinerations when we introduced GMO canola. At one time, Svalov was dealing with, I guess, three types of herbicide resistance, Bromoxynil, Liberty Link, and Roundup. and multiple constructs, so I was highly familiar with all of those peculiarities, I guess you'd call it, keeping track of things and keeping things genetically pure. And my training was with Brassica juncea, and I actually was involved in producing the first canola quality Brassica juncea in my doctorate thesis. So that was my introduction to mustard as a species, and being trained as a plant breeder in genetics and plant breeding helped form a background that was quite amenable to mustard. I was introduced to the position in Mustard 21 by Dorothy Morrell. Dorothy was sitting on the board of Mustard 21, and at that time they had a vacancy, a position for the scientific support, and she recommended me, and that's how I stepped into the role.
So what's, I've written a few feature articles on mustard over the last couple of years, and for you, what's most exciting in the mustard area right now?
Well, I think one of our challenges was to make mustard economical also to improve the grades and quality of the crop. Also, we had genetics moving off into Eastern Europe so that we would breed superior varieties and then they would be exported to Eastern Europe and we'd be competing with them in the marketplace. One of the ways to address that has been to shift to hybrids. We've made the shift to hybrids in brown mustard, and that's a Brassica juncea species, and we're utilizing the same Ogura CMS hybrid system, and that's been well received into the marketplace, and we've just or we will be introducing the second hybrid now with a little bit better quality, I'm hoping to continue that improvement in economics for the farmers. And also, as I mentioned, we're hoping to get an Oriental hybrid maybe supported next year at this committee. In the other species, Synapis alba, the yellow mustard, we're working with composites at this point to exploit heterosis and hybrid vigor in that way. So the varieties are produced with seed from various lots. They're put together for a set number of years and then that progeny is sold. And we've managed to increase the yield in 9-10% over the base long-term Czech variety and Dante. So those are exciting introductions into the marketplace. Mustard historically has been a low input, sort of low return crop, but with the wet cycles that we've seen in Western Canada, there has been a push for more canola acres, and the two crops are not compatible. When you have canola, you have volunteers in the field, and they are downgrading factors in commodity mustard. In some of the mustards, you can color sort to reduce the contamination, but in other cases, it's a hard stop to, you can't dilute. They literally do not want any genetically modified material into the European markets in some cases. So it's a difficulty. It's something that we hope to address probably in maybe a 2-3 year time frame with group 2 resistance into Brassica juncea mustard types, and we're also working on group 2 resistance in yellow mustard types, but may take a little bit longer for us to get there. But that will have two benefits. One benefit, we'll be able to clean out canola from your production fields in a very easy manner with group 2 resistance, because canola is predominantly 95% plus non-group 2 resistant. And so that that allows you to clean it out quite nicely. And also with the increase of pulse in the rotations, there's a lot of group two residual carryover. That increase in group two herbicide, plus the fact that we've been in dry cycles, has really caused a problem for carryover group two chemistries. And we want to have that in the toolkit for producers to not have to worry about killing their mustard crop with residual group two chemistries.
From your perspective, in terms of research, Mustard 21 as an organization, where are things at right now?
We've received SCAP funding for another 5-year cycle. Funding was starting, I guess, last April in 23. April 2023. So we've got funding another 5 years for Agriculture Canada Saskatoon breeding of mustard. And it's we are moving forward in that manner, and primarily that would be for group two herbicide resistance in both species, as I mentioned. There are aspects of salinity tolerance and clubroot resistance that we're incorporating into that study as well. Clubroot is now sort of tapping at the edges of our mustard producing areas. We take producer checkoffs, and that goes to SMDC, the commission, Mustard Commission in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Development?
Yeah. No,
Saskatchewan? Yeah. Anyway, SMDC. And so that those producer checkoff dollars, the amount of money that they wish to put into mustard research, we, as Mustard 21, take that those research dollars, and we take research dollars from the Canadian Mustard Association. If they have dollars that they want to put into research, they bring it into Mustard 21. Our board, Mustard 21's board, consists of members of SMDC board and CMA board. And then we have one tiebreaker vote, and that tiebreaker is a knowledgeable industry person. That was Dorothy Morrell at that time. And so then we move forward with research dollars. We can go for applications for funding and say we represent the entire value chain. CMA has members like McCormick's, members like the contractors and processors, and so we've got a nice sampling of the entire value chain of mustard, and that really is an asset when you're making applications for funding. My role is to support those applications, make the appropriate inquiries and adjustments to applications as far as we can to improve the markets for mustard and find new applications and markets for mustard as well.
Canada is one of the largest, I think maybe the largest exporter in the world potentially for mustard. Maybe I might have that wrong, but it's like a big, like we supply a huge amount of mustard. Saskatchewan specifically, I think most of the mustard, again if I'm correct, most of the mustard in the world is grown here in Saskatchewan. Is that not correct?
I believe that historically was the case. I'm not sure exactly right now where the numbers lie. We may be slightly below dominating the global market, but we definitely have very good markets into the U.S. for our yellow mustard. There's very little yellow mustard from Canada that goes to Europe. And again, it's probably a price point at this stage. Brown mustard, they enjoy our quality in the brown mustards for the Dijon mustard. I'm not sure whether I'm saying that correctly, but that type of mustard, they like our quality because of its very consistent performance. What they do is they're blending lots over years, so they want to have stability as much as possible. Mm-hmm. Whereas material they get from Eastern Europe and from within Europe itself, the lots tend to not be as consistent as the product coming from Western Canada.
Right.
And so we're, you know, it makes it a little difficult to introduce varieties, new varieties, because you want to make sure that you're fitting into that consistent quality, and that's always an ongoing issue. In terms of Oriental mustard, I'm not as familiar with the markets. I know we are sending material to Japan for the sushi.
Wasabi.
Yes. Yeah. So one of the recipes is 50% horseradish and 50% Oriental mustard, and that gives you the wonderful feel and taste in your mouth of that product. So it is it's something that gives us the opportunity to do secondary processing in Western Canada, as well as straight export into the markets as well. We do have to make sure we're free of GM into those markets, and that's one reason that we are promoting hybrids and certified seed use for sure.
It's amazing what all goes into to mustard. It's a crop that we often don't hear too much about, but which is, you know, really important globally. So that's something that somebody like you can impress upon people, is that, you know, it might not be like soybeans and canola and wheat and all these high profile crops, but it's you know, mustard, I mean, it's so, I know in France it's so important to their culture. In fact, I think there's there's like a controversy in France right now that they feel like, and this was actually, from what I understand, like an election issue, was that people felt that France is too reliant on other countries for their mustard, and so they feel that mustard should be grown at home in France, and so there it's like it's a political force, this crop. So it's really, that must keep things interesting for you too, sort of that angle of it.
We're trying to make sure that mustard remains a competitive crop on the prairies. Right now, the price of mustard is such that it still is more profitable than canola, simply because the return per bushel of mustard is much, much higher than a bushel of canola. And I mean, that's reflects itself in that mustard is priced per pound, not priced per bushel.
Hmm.
And of course, markets have a way of correcting themselves. We had a real spike in mustard prices after the shortages that were occurring after the drought. And last year we had I think our acres were up, but the yields were down. The price was so beneficial, producers were looking at it as certainly a very viable alternative in many areas. But you have to be cautioned that you have to take care of your rotations to stay away from volunteer canola at this point. So we're trying to address some of those concerns as well in the future.
Yeah, lots of... there's like any crop challenges, but opportunities as well. And
yeah.
Well, thank you, Howard, for sitting down with me.
Great. You're welcome, Mark.
For more great podcasts, visit seedworld.com/Canada.